Support for WTIP comes from our listener members and from the Lake Superior Trading Post, a gift and outdoor gear shop located on the harbor in downtown Grand Marais since 1971, offering a variety of clothing and footwear as well as maps, gifts, books, and jewelry. Open daily year-round with online shopping available at lstp.com. And we're supported by East Bay Suites. They offer fully furnished vacation condominiums on Lake Superior in the heart of downtown Grand Marais. East Bay Suites is open for nightly rentals and extended stays and offers a variety of event services online at eastbaysuites.com.
Well, folks, while you were listening to music and listening to Ann, a couple of very fine musicians made their way into the studio here, and they're pacing around right now waiting to talk to us and play some music. We've got Chris Gillis and we got Max Bickle, who are here tonight to talk about the concert they have put together for tonight and tomorrow at What's Upstairs above the Betsy Bowen Gallery and Studio. Everybody knows where that is. I don't have to. Anybody can check downtown if they don't know where it is, but it's just up the hill a couple of blocks.
That's right.
Off Highway 61, and they're going to be performing in the Frank Gillis Blues Jazz and Boogie Concert or Festival. Are we calling it a festival? Reunion. It's a reunion
something,
concert.
Yeah. Either one works.
The word reunion was in there.
Call it what you will.
The word reunion stands out there. Chris, tell us what the reunion part of it is.
Well, probably the biggest part of it being a reunion is that we are privileged to have the rhythm section from my dad's band back in the day.
Right.
The Andrews brothers, Bob and Tom, on drums and bass.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember them well.
Yep.
I can picture them. I'm wondering if they look exactly the same or...
Pretty close, man. They do.
It's pretty good.
They do.
Yeah, well, they're lookalikes as it is, but I suppose the hair is a little grayer.
Yes.
But
yes.
The music is probably even better.
But, you know, all of our hair is a little grayer,
yeah,
so everything moves at the same...
Even Max's hair is a little bit...
Even Max? Oh, yeah, son of a gun, look at him over there.
We all kind of have that silver gray thing.
Yeah. Platinum.
Some I think it's very attractive.
Platinum than...
Yeah. So this is a real throwback.
Good. I love it.
Okay, Christopher, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody out there who doesn't know about Frank, but and his music scene here. How far back do we go to the start of when Frank Gillis began playing up here?
Well, you know, to begin with, there's a lot of people who don't know who Frank Gillis is or was, for that matter.
I'm expecting you to tell everybody because... I was just joking about everybody knows, so
okay,
I want you to talk.
Okay. You know, the first concert was at the Cook County High School Auditorium in 1957.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are we talking Fisherman's Picnic?
That's the Doc Evans Dixieland Band.
Wow.
And really the core human being here is Bernie Quick, who came up here, started the Art Colony in early 50s, if not late 1940s, I'm not quite sure. And he wanted to bring some culture up to the North Shore, man. And he brought up, I don't know, it was the string quartet and maybe some light opera, and also the Doc Evans Dixieland Band, whom he was enamored of and went to lots of concerts. The Quick family lived fairly near the Lake Harriet band shell, so that was a good shot at catching the Doc Evans band.
And what was Frank's role with the Doc Evans band?
Well, he was the pianist for at least 10 years and maybe longer. I mean, these guys had, there were three or four, five different bands around the Twin Cities area, and the members were pretty interchangeable. If somebody couldn't make a date, you got another piano player. So, but he was the steady, if he could make it, he was the steady guy.
And where was he living at the time? This is your dad.
In Minneapolis.
Folks,
this is my dad
out there.
Yeah.
Where was Frank living at the time?
In Minneapolis. We all were. All
okay.
Three of us.
Yep.
So that started to become, everybody liked the jazz, the happy jazz sound. And that started to come around every year.
Yeah. And what did it start in 1957 at the Fisherman's Picnic? weekend, or was it just...
I don't think it was so much aligned summertime. With Fisherman's Picnic.
Yeah. Which it did become ultimately.
Eventually. Yeah. In fact, it's sponsored by the Lions Club. They would play on a flatbed truck right down there in Bear Tree Park, you know, about 4 feet off the ground. They'd have a piano up there and the whole band.
But they also played two concerts on a Friday and a Saturday night. Well, then there was a Sunday gig, too.
Talk
a little about that. Yeah.
Still, the Barbary Coast Dixieland Jazz Band, which is who Tom Andrews plays with regularly, most of their gigs are in churches, either as a dance or a show, but also a lot of church services. And they swing those hymns, man, and churches line up to hire them all the way to Florida, man. They're most of the wintertime in Florida.
That's right.
They hit a few jazz festivals here and there.
Great.
But what's really neat to speak about is that, jazz in the church is not wow. everybody
well,
knows
other,
that.
The other church connection, there were two things. There was a Saturday night concert and there was a Sunday.
Sunday was at concert. Bethlehem Lutheran.
Yeah, well, Saturday night.
Who had
night
a
was,
grand piano.
Yeah.
And then Sunday morning as well.
Yeah.
And you know, that went on for years, and there came a time when my dad got tired by Sunday morning and said, Chris, you want to play those hymns at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning? Have at it. And I thought it was a perfect opportunity for me. So I got in there and started taking over the Sunday mornings with the guys.
Well, we'll get back to talking a little bit about it, but are you guys prepared to... play some tunes now or talk
we're
a little bit
prepared.
About the music?
We're
you're not,
not
prepared.
But you're going to do it
that,
anyway.
I heard that word.
Anyway.
Prepared.
Dan knows what we're
yes.
doing. Yeah. We were talking about playing this Fats Waller tune that everybody plays just because it's something simple and because we've never played it together like this cornet and fiddle.
Yeah,
never.
We got cornet never. And fiddle not here. Chris has got, he doesn't have a keyboard.
Never. You can play Never on Sunday, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
So we're just going to lurch in and see what happens here.
Okay, then we'll come back and talk.
One, two, three, four.
That was Jake. Max Bickle on fiddle and Chris Gillis on cornet. And you guys will have a full band with you tonight and tomorrow night, right?
Absolutely.
Woo-hoo.
The full band. And then there's lots of additions. Liz Severson is going to be joining us.
Eric Hahn on sax. Mike DeBevick, my old buddy. He holds an important place in the old concerts, too.
You guys go way back.
Way back. In fact, he started playing before I was ever on the stage with my dad. Mike was playing the kind of the, what do you call it, first band, the warm-up
intro,
band.
Right.
The warm-up act.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd play six or seven of his tunes, some of them originals. And then he and I started working together. Then he and I eventually took over Friday nights at the Playhouse.
Yep. At the Playhouse, when he refers to that, that is... now what's upstairs above Betsy Bowen's. That used to be the Graham Ray Playhouse, of course. And I'll tell you, if you've never been to a music event at the Playhouse or what's upstairs, you owe yourself. Get down there and see the and hear the music and see the performers, because you're sitting right in their lap and the music comes right at you.
It is a great venue.
Yeah, it's a cool little spot. And the cool thing about every time Chris comes into town and puts on these, arranges these little shows that are happening now on a semi-regular basis, spring and fall, is that he's got new cats coming in and now the guys that played with his dad, Frank. So there's people kind of, you know, the ebb and flow of, there's so much talent in the area. And so Chris, Mike Devebic will be playing for the first time in the couple of years he's been doing these. And he's a great addition. Eric Hahn has played a few of them. And so you're just kind of just bringing in new flavors all the time. I love it.
True. And about how many people does that venue seat, you guys?
95,
okay. About 100 maybe at the most, yeah.
Hence the two shows.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it was with that Frank's concert. You know, of course, they wanted to always do it at the Playhouse, and that was the hottest ticket to be able to see him there. But there was no way you could get enough people in there to do two nights there, so they'd go up to the church for Saturday night and, you know, triple the size of the audience.
Right,
there.
Right. Plenty of seats.
Yeah, lots of seats. Run, man. And great acoustics. It was a wonderful concert there, too. Yeah. But you know, the venue you're going to be is the one I remember most as the, where the Frank Gillis
it
combo.
It is something special there.
Yeah, it is. And I want to mention for listeners who may not have ever been there, it is at 301 First Avenue West.
First Avenue West, right up from Bucks.
Right, from Bucks Hardware.
Two blocks up. What's unmistakable is that it's an 1880s.
Yes, it's an old church. White and green.
White church.
Lutheran. Actually, it's the old Lutheran church.
Lutheran, yeah.
And it was built by the old Swedish-Norwegian Lutheran carpenters back in the day. And actually, it was turn of the century. It was just after 1910 or something like that, I think, when that church was built.
And it's just been a wonderful thing that Betsy Bowen has saved and renovated that space for the arts. I mean, there's her art gallery and art studio and performing space and another business there, at least one that I know of. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Say, Chris, you know, your dad, every number that they did, he would give the history of the tune, who wrote it, when it, who performed it. What about that last tune you just played? Can you tell us what that was?
You know, no, really, other than that it was written by Fats Waller. My dad was an ethnomusicologist.
Yes, I know.
And a big shot. Both, you know, and a scholar and a gentleman is a better way to put that.
Right.
But yeah, he would. You're right.
That was fun.
Yeah. And then later on, everybody got a little comfy over the years. Then Bill Price and some of the guys would straighten him out on some things. He'd be a little left of center on something, man, and they'd butt right in and tell him, "Well, no, Frank, actually."
Yeah. Yeah. No. That was quite the group. Yeah. Bill Price was the trumpet player.
Trumpet player, and they had different clarinetists, but always Bob and Tom.
Yeah, well, remember Ev Bushman, too.
Ev Bushman,
my goodness.
Our own Ev Bushman, who ran a hardware store, local hardware
right
store.
Right here in Grand Marais, and he was fantastic.
Dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
And your dad would have him. Well, your dad would also play other venues around town himself. Right.
I mean, there were odd little things that he did, benefits for the radio station and up at the care center when my mom was in the care center. Mm-hmm. He played a lot of little things around town, but most notably, I think, in his last years was holding down Saturday nights at the East Bay.
Yeah.
In the Viking room.
Right? Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that room. That was such a great spot.
That was fun.
Oh.
Can you imagine trying to describe that room to somebody that has never seen it before?
Yeah, with the prow of the Viking ship there and the sails or whatever it was that was hanging from the ceiling.
Red and white sails hang. Early on there, the walls were lined with huge old musky northern plugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chris, have you been playing with Tom and Bob?
Tom and Bob.
All along?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, you
haven't seen each other in, and I mean seen each other in a long, long time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is really going to be a reunion.
Well, they came over to our place, Ann and I moved in St. Paul, and they came over to our place for a little rehearsal. So we have touched base and got the hugs out of the way and that kind of stuff, you know, made a reconnection. But as far as played on the stage together...
And you just recently moved back from the East Coast,
right?
To the Twin Cities area, and so we're anticipating much more visitations by Mr. Gillis and your wonderful companion Anne.
It's cool. We're closer than Washington D.C. is a ways away.
Yeah.
Yes.
You still got you still have your home up here too. So
yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, yeah we do.
So, what you know, thinking of Frank, and maybe this is unfair, but what would you say would be your fondest musical memory of Frank?
Gosh. Just that he noticeably, and this goes for all the guys, but what I noticed as a kid growing up is how respectful they were.
Mm-hmm.
You could see them moving around the stage in a certain way to highlight one guy at a time for a solo, to play volume-wise, to play an appropriate volume, to take tunes at the proper tempo. Dad was great for, and any of the guys would tell you as much, for having the right tempo, how to get in mm-hmm. the pocket to make something really swing.
Mm-hmm.
Takes
mm-hmm.
a certain tempo. Not just the feel right. of the drums or the way the horns are blowing or whatever, but just watching this kind of interchange between men mm-hmm. was huge.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, well, tell us a little bit about what kind of music was typically played at these concerts, the Gillis jazz scene.
Wow, that's a hard one too.
I mean, I think Dixieland, you know, but you tell me.
Well, it is Dixieland, yeah. And there's a couple of hundred favorites, really, that mm-hmm. all the guys know. And generally, there's a standard key. You play so-and-so in E-flat and so-and-so in the key of C. And although most of the guys that are really versed in their instrument can play in almost any key.
Huh. But there's also, you know, there's always this element of improvisation in jazz. So what you said about your dad would, and the other gentleman would acknowledge someone who was playing an improv piece, right?
Well, you mean taking a solo?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's...
And that wasn't necessarily following a music sheet.
Not at all. In fact, they never did follow any music sheets.
Right.
And I tell you, the music sheet was the set list that my dad or somebody would write and make everybody else play from tune 1 to tune 20 for the whole night. Frank's set list, that was it.
That's
the sheet.
So they all knew how to come in and do their part,
no
matter what he picked.
It was amazing to watch them, because sometimes they did not know the particular tune very well, or in that tune. And my dad would just do a bold face, walk out there and say, now we're going to do so-and-so number. One, two, a one, two, three. And man, you'd be gone, and some guys would be struggling, man, with wrapping themselves around this particular number, because they hadn't played it in a long time or whatever.
Yeah.
That sounds like lots of fun.
Yeah.
I bet you guys are going to have a great...
That's what you've been doing to us this past... this past month. He set this up and just sent us a song list like days ago.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
No rehearsals. Just it's the jazz. It's blues and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. True.
So
yeah.
You guys are playing blues, jazz, and boogie. Is what the title is.
My buddy Mark Odegaard, who designed these very cool posters.
Yeah.
In fact, he says, look at the moon tonight. It's the same moon that's on the poster.
Oh, really?
But I just went off of what it used to be called, and the last days somehow we got to calling it the, and maybe it was even Mark that came up with the Frank Gillis Boogie Woogie and Jazz something something festival, and so I was just picking up
on that.
Yeah,
he did. We've got, because I've got one of those posters, and that's right. That
some look with y'all that are coming tonight and tomorrow night, look in the entryway when you're coming in. There's some of the old posters we got up there, and some of which are for sale, too, so... You can see the dates and how things were worded and who was playing. Like, for instance, one of them has featured Randy Sabine.
Oh, yeah.
Other fiddle player.
Yeah, I remember
other
that.
Fiddle player. Yeah. So I haven't told you about the May show, have I, Max?
You're featuring Max tonight. Yeah. No.
Now, do you guys want to play another song? Do you want to tell us?
Never on Sunday. Never on Sunday.
I love that song. Would you?
Never on Sunday.
Never on Sunday.
I want to do it in C.
So the keys always change when he goes to horn.
Very nice.
For finishing up, I can tell my lip. I got to have some lip for my show tonight. I can tell it's already on the edge.
Well, you're usually sitting behind a keyboard. I assume you're going to be sitting behind a keyboard tonight.
Absolutely, but I've just been having so much fun playing the horn that I'm going to get out there a little bit.
Sure.
We're all going to get out there a little bit.
Definitely.
So will you guys give the specifics? Because I understand it's... people can bring their own beverages and snacks.
That's my understanding.
Okay. At 7:30.
At 7:30. The doors open at 7. And seats tend to do fill up pretty quickly, man.
Yeah. General admission.
And there seating. is a charge.
General seating, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it's $10 at the door. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, so I'm trying to think of a couple of things that are on the set list. How about You Gotta Keep the Devil Way Down in the Hole.
I can agree with that.
That sounds fun.
That's one of the tunes that we're going to play.
Okay. And you had us cue something up here on the CD player that you want
you know
us to play.
Yeah, what I have there was one of my favorite albums of the back in the day, which was Bill Price, the trumpet player. It was his band and a bunch of his guys. Unfortunately, Tom and Bob are not on it, but my dad's playing the piano. And it's a studio thing recorded in Minneapolis. It's one take. So this will tell you something. Listen to this thing, how they start and how they clip along, man, and just they just roll beautifully together. Take solos, and the rest of the band pulls back. You can hear it all happening. And then they stop on a dime in this beautiful little... they knew how to end certain things. The way certain tunes were played in a certain key, they had a certain intro most of the time. And it had a certain outro most of the time. So number 4, I think, is what's
going
on there.
Got it. Yeah. Should we say goodbye and let you go and play that?
That's good.
That's all right.
Good. That's all right, good. Listen for the ending, folks. Thank you, guys.
Okay.